This episode of To The Last Drop is sponsored by the Listen Audio app, where you can stream all your favorite radio stations, you can catch up on all the latest news and entertainment, and dive into captivating podcasts like this one, all in the same app.
Download Listen, that's LISTN, from the App Store or Google Play. The Listen Audio app, everywhere you are.
It's time for To The Last Drop podcast with Liam Del Carme and Brandon Nell.
We're back. It's To The Last Drop. It's Sevens Week in Cape Town and a European Cup action coming up. With me is Liam Del Carme, as always. Liam, morning. And we've got another guest here from SA Rugby, Marlon Kruger here. And Marlon's going to talk to us a bit about the Sevens. So welcome, guys.
Thank you. Great to be here, guys.
Marlon, I think let's start with the question I'm going to ask you is what is your official title, so I can just tell people who you're talking to?
Brendan, I like to just call it plain and simple marketing manager. But SA Rugby's got a very long and fancy name, Senior Manager Brand and Marketing.
Awesome. That's to distinguish you from who?
From all of the other important people at SA Rugby, like the young Borchardt.
Fair enough.
Marlon, I take it your laptop still was at the office. You weren't one of the people targeted in the recent robbery at SA Rugby.
Yeah,
the great heist of 2023.
Yeah, I've managed to survive. There were a few unlucky ones, but we all came out reasonably unscathed. So all good, man.
It's obviously Sevens Week this week. It's a huge week in Cape Town. It's also when we sort of know that normally in previous years we would say this is the last sort of gasp of the year and the season, and we can all relax after this. But we can't do that anymore now that we're in Europe.
In fact, Brendan, remember there used to be an email that used to come out of the SA Rugby office saying, making it quite clear, SA Rugby office will be closing from like December 12 and only reopen on like the 28th of January or some silly date. No longer the case.
No longer the case. Those days are gone, sir. Rugby now is played throughout the year.
Yeah. Now, I think we've all got the same problem. We all look at this used to be the time where you look forward to being on the beach for a couple of weeks or you're going on holiday or something. And now you're working again. So now you don't really get time to go time off because in June, July, where the European season breaks, now we're all doing tests at that stage. So we're all pretty busy. You as well, Marlon. So
absolutely. You know,
a bit of a transition there.
Yeah. No, it's a mindset change, but you know, when you love this game becomes part of your life, man. So we actually enjoy it, eh, Brendan? We all secretly kind of love being on the side of a rugby field, man, whether it's summer, winter, we're there, man.
You're one of the lucky people that have those special numbers on your accreditation that allows you to be on the side of the field. Obviously, it means you have to do work. I don't mean that you're obviously standing around just watching the rugby, but you run around. We've watched you run around. What's a typical week for you like in this style with the Cape Town Sevens on hand?
Yeah. So Brendan, this is the final, you know, the final few days before the big showdown. And this is the epitome of, you know, of the planning. It all comes down to this week, you know. There's not much you can do in this week other than just implement what you've been planning and working on for months, if not years already. But the entire contingent from World Rugby has now arrived in Cape Town. So from referees to logistics and medical and the players and team management, they're all here and everybody wants something. So you're on beck and call, you know, whether it's something as simple as ice or getting directions to a training field or getting the guys at Cape Town Stadium for a quick run around to understand where their facilities are, their change rooms. So it's pretty much just facilitating and handing over to the World Rugby team for quite time consuming. And then from a sports presentation perspective, this is rehearsals week. So we only get a certain allotted time inside that stadium. And to make matters worse, you only get a certain allotted time to make some noise. So your noise exemptions kick in at a very specific time. And the stadium is run like clockwork. So when those guys need the field for either markings on the logo markings on the field or the lines and even the sponsor logos on the field or the trimming, they need to get on there. There's a time. So everything is run like a very tight ship. You know, you've got X amount of time on that field You've got X amount of time on the stages to do your rehearsals and sound checks and to get everything absolutely perfect. We've got a bowl, two swimming pools inside of that bowl, and then four additional swimming pools on the concourse. So it's all going down, and the wind is not helping us. The wind in Cape Town is affecting a little bit of some of the bulbs there, guys. So guys are working through the nightmare, but it's what we do.
I was about to ask about a nightmare sort of scenario for you in the build-up and also during the event. I mean, I remember the World Cup sevens where the wind was it made its presence felt. I mean, you would sort of just turn a corner somewhere and then suddenly off goes your ice cream or your packet of chips. You think it's a seagull? No, it's the wind.
Yeah, you know, so we build these massive big screens. We call them the Megatrons. It's the biggest screen in sports entertainment in South African sport in terms of the history, really, of sport in South Africa. And there's a head of safety and security at the city by the name of Andre Okamp. If you've ever had the pleasure of meeting him, you'll know this is a serious guy. You know, he's got four walkie-talkies, three cell phones, and, you know, he's talking to the president and everybody at the same time. He is the final authority. So he inspects absolutely everything in that stadium, you know, and on the eve of opening up the Megatron at the very first Cape Town Sevens when we built, he wasn't happy with the type of hinges and screws that were used to keep the LEDs in place. Because those screws and hinges could only take winds up to 100 kilometers, and he wanted hinges that could take winds up to 200 kilometers. So we had to import screws and hinges from Johannesburg on the eve of the night and have a team work through the night and fit these screws onto every one of those panels until Andre eventually signed off on Saturday morning, giving us the go-ahead to turn on the Megatron. So they look at absolutely everything. Of course, there's a lot of stress in our world, obviously, but they look at everything, man. They're quite pedantic, quite particular, extremely thorough. We call them the party killers, but they've all got a job to play, man.
Yeah, it seems like pedantic sort of overkill, but I suppose the alternative is that if something goes wrong, you know, he's got to account for all that. So rather be 100% sure and rather that nothing can ever happen. The one thing about the sevens, I want to ask the controversial question, and we spoke about this the other day when I was in Cape Town and I saw you, but the World Cup sevens, how much did it...
Was there brand damage?
Yes. How much did it hurt the Cape Town sevens as a brand?
Look, to be fair, guys, I think this is pretty informal research that we've done just in the feedback we've received in writing via email. I think the fact that we've had a World Cup which saw over 100,000 people attend an event and then just 2.5 months later host an additional Cape Town Sevens event, I think when you say hurt the brand, I think the brand was somewhat saturated. In it was a bit of an overload of sevens. And I think the format, and it's pretty, you know, while it's openly known that the format of the World Cup is very different. It has a very unique format. And I think that our spectators found that a bit challenging in that the Blitzbox get to play once a day and only at 10 o'clock at night. Mm. And that is hard. That's harsh. You, Brendan, you mentioned the weather, Liam, you mentioned the weather during that World Cup. It wasn't the greatest. So the experience wasn't on par with what the Cape Town Sevens of old presented the fan. So I think the fan experienced something different, something unique. I think the show and the rugby on display was great. But I think in comparison to the Cape Town Sevens spectacle, it was different. And unique. So if we're looking at some of the changes that have been made this year, and I think World Rugby have recognized that it wasn't as effective as they'd hoped it to be. So they've made some significant changes now, Brendan. You know, the Cape Town or the Seven Series has now gone back to 2 days in Cape Town, which I personally think is a massive win. I think the old Cape Town Sevens of old is now firmly returning. We've got shorter days. It's a lot more, it's a quicker format, a quicker event. And then the other big changes, which I think is quite unique, having seen the Dubai Sevens last week, is that no more draws. If you're at level pickings in a game, you play sudden death or golden point, as they call it. And then they've reduced the pools from 16 to 12, which sees us returning to somewhat of a strength versus strength format. So you've always got sort of exciting games happening. I think it's a little bit disappointing that we are the only African team amongst the 12 participating men's nations now. But again, you've got this a lot more on the line. It's strength versus strength. We've seen the Blitzbox take on New Zealand and Fiji in Dubai and Australia. And those are blockbusters, you know, blockbusters. I think the fans are in for a hell of an exciting tournament this weekend.
Can you give us a sense of excitement and how ticket sales went? I mean, are you on par with what you experienced, say, 2-3 years ago?
I think we're on par with where we were in World Rugby when we hosted the World Cup. So that Cape Town Sevens, we saw us get very close to 100,000 fans. I think we hit that mark. We will be hitting that mark. And I think the fact that the Blitzbox played so exceptionally well in Dubai, man, has seen a significant jump in ticket sales this week. So our daily sales have now doubled, since that big win on Sunday. So we're looking pretty.
I was going to say, because I mean, first of all, in the format, I agree with you. It's a lot more intense now, and less teams. And plus, it feels like the women's rugby's got a place now. And that Friday, which was always your most difficult day to sell anyway, because people are still at work. But I think I was wondering how much, if any, sort of effect the whole sort of 15s rugby. I know it's a different game, and people come for a different experience. But the fact that there's Champions Cup games on, and the Stormers play this weekend overseas, Bulls play Saracens, some big games coming on this weekend, how that affects, have you guys seen an effect of that? Or don't you think that crossover is not really there?
Yeah. So, Ben, our research has shown us that there are fans who love sevens more than they do 15s. And those fans are quite religious and dogmatic in their support. They travel around the world with the Blitzbox in this exciting brand of rugby. And then we find that there are fans who wear their Springbok 15s jersey when they come. They are massive rugby fans. And then we get the party fan who are there for, man, if it wasn't rugby, if it was soccer, they'd still be there. They're there for the party and the festive and the atmosphere that sevens rugby brings and the costume wearing. But we are looking at ways of, from a South African perspective, one of our objectives is to, I don't want to use the word merge. We certainly don't want to merge the two brands, but we want to have some sort of crossover between the two properties. You've got Kirtley Ardenser, you've got Quagga, who have played, sevens rugby, and they've gone on to make successful careers in the 15s brand of the game. And there will be others who in this team now who will make that crossover. So we are trying to blend the two properties. And this weekend, you'll see some familiar 15s faces pop up at the event in a formal capacity. And a certain Sir Webb Ellis will make an appearance at the game over the weekend as well. So that'll be a nice coup. And the idea is to celebrate rugby, celebrate South African rugby. And I think we will get there, man. Some exciting stuff lined up, Brendan.
And in terms of entertainment, obviously Sevens is very much geared to that. Do you have anything different this year? Because there's always vibe and there's always geers at that event. And it's something that even if you're watching it on television, you think, hell, I should have made the effort to go down or whatever, what do you have in store?
So Liam, this year is, I mean, when I say that it's the best we've ever had, it certainly is. We've got 40 acts over the weekend, 40 different musical acts. Whereas in years gone by, we probably had about 10, 10 would be a big number. So while the rugby is happening this year, there are stages built around the podium for fans to be engaged in various different acts. So names like DJ Zintley and Jack Parrow and, you know, I'll let you guys in on a little, not quite sure if you know who Tyler is, South African artist with a big track called Water.
Yeah, she's big at the and moment, huge.
Exceptionally big. And we were in advanced talks with Tyler headlining the show on Saturday. Saturday is known as our party day. Sunday is known as our entertainment day. So we were going to close off this party with a massive performance by Tyler. And as I said, we were in quite advanced talks around contracts and changing contracts. And we were, you know, she was poised to sign. And in that week, she was announced to be, she got a Grammy nomination. And unfortunately, they came back with a price that had not only doubled, but had gone to the Supernatural.
Trevor
and
Noah.
Unfortunately, yeah, exactly.
You mean she got there swiftly?
You know, you mentioned something swiftly. So one of the big bosses at World Rugby, when we said, listen, we're getting Tyler to headline at this event, he said, get her, whatever the price, you know, you make sure you get her. And then a meeting later, we found out that he told his kids, you won't believe he's coming to the Cape Town Sevens. Taylor Swift. They've just signed Taylor Swift. And we're like, no, sir. It is Tyler.
Wow. Wow.
And big hit from Cold Water. But sadly, regrettably, we were unable to secure Tyler or Taylor Swift. But we've got some big names, some big entertainment. As I said, 40 acts over those 2 days is quite a bit. So, yeah, it's a hell of a show, guys. Going to be a big one.
I want to ask you, I mean, the one thing also, just from a rugby point of view, this is also the first time that the new stadium pitch is going to be used. There was so much talk about that in URC in the last couple of weeks of URC, last season. So, I mean, how's that looking? I mean, that must be, I think that's quite exciting as well.
So this is the first rugby game with the new pitch. The Stormers were playing out in Stellenbosch. There was one soccer match that took place and it's absolutely zero damage to the pitch. They had a scrum session, a forward session for the Stormers on the pitch last week, and it held up tremendously well. Not a single marking, not a single patch of grass came undone. So it's looking solid at first glance. I had a walk around yesterday. Visually, it's also looking superb. I mean, it's green, it's lush. Solid underfoot. So I think we're in the past, you had so many players slipping, even though they were using the larger studs. I think we're in for the turf is playing extremely quickly, and we're in for some really good rugby and the welcome return of a guy like Roscoe Speckman, and then the new lad Tewin Nokia in the Blitzbox. So I think you're going to see some scintillating speedsters at play on this weekend.
All of this, of course, will come as cold comfort to Stephen Kitsoff. So maybe you should send him some pictures, of what this new pitch looks like.
Looks like, yeah.
No, he's in much colder weather now, trying to scrum in those pitches.
Good luck to him.
We probably all want his salary as well. So, Marlon, the other thanks, man. And listen, good luck. I know you got lots to do, so we're not going to keep you too long. But good luck, and hopefully it's all a success.
Yeah, man, what a pleasure, man. Brendan, Liam, you guys enjoy the sun, have a cold one, and let us know what you thought of the new format and the event, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's we'll have to watch it on television, unfortunately, but that is the way the media operates these days. But yeah, you guys have fun, and I wish you every success.
You're with Brendan Nell and Liam Delcom on the To The Last Drop podcast.
Okay, yeah, and the other big thing this weekend, Liam, is the European, well, it's no longer the European, the EPCR, I think we should be calling it, trophy. So the Investec Champions Cup, which has got a new sponsor, Investec, obviously, this week. And it was the Heineken Cup before, as everyone knew it, but now a new name. And then the EPCR Challenge Cup, which is a second tier competition for those people who aren't familiar with these competitions, is basically the two old European Cup competitions. But obviously, with us in, it can't be European anymore. So our teams, two teams in the Champions Cup, the Stormers and the Bulls. The other teams, the Lions and the Sharks, didn't qualify for that tournament. They just qualified for the Challenge Cup. And the Cheetahs are one of the invited teams in the Challenge Cup. So that we've got five teams playing this weekend. A couple of interesting other matchups we'll talk about as well, very briefly. But yeah, just let's have a look at as they go, as you plan your Saturday. If you're going to be watching the rugby between the sevens, your first game that will come up is Zebra Cheetahs. And I think, you know, for the Cheetahs coming into EPCR Challenge Cup action, this is probably a very favorable draw for them. Look, they've been out of this sort of level of competition for a while now. They had the games against the Western Force, very low-key games against them in the Curry Cup. But I mean, if you want to play anybody in Challenge Cup, I think they know Zebra, they know the field, they used it as their home base last year, Zebra's field. So I think Cheetahs probably would be hoping for a good result here.
Yeah, I was going to make the point that they are used to doing these trips. It's not unfamiliar territory for them. And if they can hit the deck running, I know they've been out of it for a little while, but if they can hit the deck running, that's one game that they will certainly, it will be well within their compass of winning. I'm expecting a solid performance from them. And it's also one of those things where the Cheetahs obviously just want to make an impression and they want to show that they belong. So I rather fancy them.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's also interesting is Rion Kruger and Daniel Cassenda and there was one other guy, all played for the Ospreys a couple of games, and so they were over there, so they've got some European experience. And then you Rion Pinar, who's still going at the age of 65. Rion's not that old, he's only about 60 now, but he still tends to put in these amazing performances despite his age, and yeah, if he's on song, then usually the Cheetahs are on song.
Yeah, they will have to look like at a player like Pinar to tick them over. He makes good decisions all the time. I mean, that's probably the most amazing thing about him. And he executes. I mean, that kicking game is still as solid as it was, I almost said 20 years ago. 15 years ago.
It is almost basically, isn't it? Okay, well, this one, I think it's going to be a close game, but I think we both probably, I don't know about you, Liam, I think I'm sensing we're both going to probably go for a Cheetahs win.
Yeah, I'll go.
But I'll probably go within Cheetahs, seven, open game, lots of tries, reckon, and...
Yeah, Cheetahs between, six to 8 points, I reckon.
Yeah. The next game is an interesting one. The one straight after that is the Hollywood Bet Sharks, as they call themselves nowadays, against Section Paloa. I'm not sure or Pau, as we all know.
Paloa's,
okay.
Pau.
Pau, yeah.
And
this is a difficult one because, first of all, I mean, what we've seen in European action in the last couple of years, the French sides are French in that they... A lot of the times they treat away games almost as if they don't exist. They send almost second string sides. And we haven't seen the side that they've sent out to South Africa yet. So you're not sure how many of their first choice players are playing. And then in the contrast, you've got a Sharks side. I don't think it'd be too harsh saying they're in a bit of turmoil at the moment. They don't seem to know what sort of rugby they want to play. And they look very unsure of themselves and very sort of low on confidence.
Yeah, it's one of those where they may not have those building blocks in place yet. There is very much a sort of a lack of identity or a clear identity. But given the talent that they've assembled there, this is it will have to be a backs to the wall kind of performance, given what's happened in the recent weeks. And I expect them, the guys to dig deep and win this game and win it well. You made the point about French teams and the way they travel. Their focus always is the top 14. If you're not a Toulouse at the top of the tree, sometimes in some seasons Clermont, in some seasons maybe Toulon. If you're not competing at the sharp end, then they tend to treat these games, especially away ones, as ones where they can just develop their squad and preserve their big guns for top 14 engagement. So, I think the Sharks will win well here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last season, as we saw it with Lyon, when they came out, they literally played two different teams, totally different match 23 when they met the Bulls in Pretoria than when they saw them again in Lyon. So, yeah, you see it quite. I agree. I think the Sharks, the only thing that question to me is just how deep is that the problems that the Sharks have at the moment. And there's a certain existential angst that sort of comes when your team's doing badly, that you almost try too hard to get it right. And they're obviously going through a lot of challenges. But I mean, there's obviously, I know there was a couple of meetings we heard that this week and Durban sort of shareholders meetings and please explain meetings. And that's the only thing that sometimes when you're in that situation, you try so hard to get yourself out of that situation that you end up making a bigger mess. And I'm hoping that's obviously not the case for the Sharks, because we need a strong Sharks team. And those Bok players and those players around them need to feed off that energy. And we didn't see that at Lofty. So I think we're going to get a good Sharks win, but I think it's going to be a bit disjointed. But at the moment, I think that's what they need more than anything else.
Yeah, I think their talent will just pull them through in this one. I mean, that's basically what at this stage what they can call on.
Yeah. Then obviously Saturday night's big one at Loftus Way as well. A very informed Bulls side at the moment against a Owen Farrell led Saracens, and all indications are that we're going to see. We haven't seen the team yet, but we're going to see Owen Farrell back. And given that, obviously he withdrew from last week's game and withdrew from the England squad as well because. To take time out for his family and for his own mental health. It's going to be a very interesting thing to see the Saracen side and what they put on the field, because they're certainly a team of internationals. They're certainly a team, they're premiership champions. They can put it together. And how much of it will be to play for Owen? So Bulls have never lost against, since we've entered Europe, never lost against overseas opposition. So that should be interesting as well. So, I mean, a fascinating game loading at Loftus.
Yeah, there were two games that stood out when the draw was made, and this was from a South African perspective. And this was one of them, and the name Owen Farrell immediately sort of popped up. It's probably also a game that he would really want to involve himself in. He's achieved so much in the sport, achieving a win at Loftus for his beloved club, probably a thing that he's wanted to achieve for a while. So, I think it's going to be a tough ask for Saracens. They are a team that has tasted glory in this competition on a number of occasions, a few occasions. But these are different times, winning the competition now is slightly different to what it was when they last won it. So, traveling to Loftus will be a challenge for them. I think that momentum the Bulls are on is a very, very difficult thing to break at Loftus. And I predict a tough afternoon for Saracens, or a tough evening.
Yeah, of course, what makes it even worse is they're experiencing coming from, I think they played in 7-degree weather last week where they lost to Northampton, lost the game, and I think it was a 5-game winning streak that was broken. And they come in Pretoria this week has been, 34, 35 degrees. Now, they are playing at 7:30 at night, so it won't be that hot then, but it'll be in the mid-20s probably. And there's thunderstorms also predicted for Pretoria late afternoon, evening, which could also play a very interesting part in the game. There's a lot of factors they have to overcome, and at altitude in the heat, if you just play a tempo game, it probably would be their choice to try and run Saracens a bit off their feet and hope that they tire very quickly. So in a lot of ways, this is going to be very fascinating to see how Saracens and Owen Farrell in particular sort of approach this game.
I think the Bulls will be, especially up front, I think they'll be rampant. Unless they do silly things, behind the pack and don't play the territorial game they're supposed to play, or commit silly errors, I think there's 18, 19 points between these two sides this weekend in the favor of the Bulls.
Interesting. But to me, I think the big question is what side Saracens pick, because it'll be closer for me if there's a Mauro Toje and a Jamie George and the Vunipolos and those guys there. But the Bulls at Loftus, when they get on a rampage, they're hard to stop. So I also see a Bulls victory probably by about 10 points. I'll go a bit more conservatively than you there. So.
Okay.
And that's Saturday night's fixtures. And then Sunday, we start off again with I'm just looking here for the fixture. Sunday, the Lions play Perpignan away. Marvin Ory's team, and I'm sure we'll see Marvin being in on that game in the team to face the Lions. An interesting one for the Lions was Perpignan will on pretty decent run in top 14 at the moment, and Lions are also on a pretty decent form at the moment. So interesting to see how the Lions go overseas.
Yeah, I was under the impression that Perpignan was struggling a bit. Aren't they? I think they're second last.
They've had a couple of wins in the last couple of weeks, so yeah.
Yeah, so I still think that they, you know, in terms of the quality of the top 14, they are very much sort of, you know, not quite bottom of the barrel, but close to it. And I think the Lions will rather relish going there. It was explained to us their travel challenges again, a much changed side. I think if they took their frontline 23, it would have been a very easy game to predict. But it's a much changed Lions side, and of course, playing in France in front of passionate home support, no doubt they are very passionate in that part of France. That might provide a challenge. The Lions fly into Barcelona. They touch down there, and then there's a two-hour and a bit bus ride to Perpignan. On top of this, so yeah, you know, they've got a few challenges, but you know, it's as I said earlier, I mean, it would have been an easy one to predict that they had the best 23 there, but that's not the case. So it might be tight, but I think the home side will probably prevail in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I just look here. I see I am wrong. They are second from bottom. They've only won two games this season. But those two games came in their last four games. So I think that's more what I was referring to. But yeah, interesting to see Montpellier is right at the bottom, won one game. So Corbis Ryan's team is not really doing that well. But I agree with you. It's a difficult one to call. If the Lions have their top guys there, but Yaku Fisaki led Lions and all the fringe players, you're not quite sure what to expect. So I'd say probably advantage Perpignan there, and probably a
only by virtue of home ground advantage, really. Yeah. I mean, not by much else.
But it'll tell us also a lot about the Lions' depth. And I mean, I think other stage we can talk about that. Has been one of the Lions' problems in the last year is that they've focused too heavily on their match day 23 and haven't rotated enough. So it's good to see them using that. So it'd be interesting to see how some of those players go.
It's interesting in that they've got Newcastle Falcons in the next one at home. Newcastle going through all kinds of strife themselves, so it'll be very interesting to see how they assemble their squad, if they assemble anything at all for that game.
And then the final game, the Stormers going up against the Leicester Tigers. I think this is one of those that John Dobson's been quite clear. They face La Rochelle next week, huge, big game in Cape Town. They're not going to send any of their big guns to this game. I think they've learned their lesson in the past by trying to stretch their squad too much. So we're going to probably see a second string Stormer side, a Leicester Tigers side with Andre Pollard, Jasper Visser, Hanro Liebenberg, bunch of South Africans, bunch of World Cup winners there. I think that's going to be quite easily 10 to 15 points in Leicester Tigers' favour there.
If not more. If it's a particularly bad day for the Stormers. Look, Leicester, at the best of times, I mean, they are very tough to beat anyway. I mean, even if they're mid-table in the Premiership and the top, the team at the top of the log goes there, it's still a struggle. So, I expect the Stormers to be well up against it. As you say, 15, 16 points. Yeah, it might even be more.
And then the only other, there's one or two other games the weekend worth mentioning, but I mean, the one that we obviously will mention is the repeat of last season's final, the Leicester Tiger, Leinster, La Rochelle game, Stade Rochelais. That should be an interesting one, although, I mean, it's difficult to tell because if you look at Ronan Agora's side, 2 weeks ago, they got beaten quite heavily by Toulon. And then last week, they came back and they won with 30 points again. So the French sides are a bit perplexing in what they, but I think in European Cup, they pride themselves on winning that. And this is a huge game for them.
Yeah, for them now, because they're champions, so I've been back-to-back champions, they obviously don't want to slip off. And it's going to be difficult, or increasingly difficult for them to juggle the Champions Cup and top 14, because obviously top 14 is a competition they haven't won. So that is the big carrot that they're chasing. So it'll be interesting to see how Ogata mixes and matches his side over the coming weeks, or throughout the season, actually. It's a tough one to call. I mean, usually home ground advantage accounts for an awful lot there. But having said that, in their most recent final, La Rochelle certainly did the business away from them.
And the thing is as well, I mean, and it's weird saying this, but you almost felt that Leinster probably haven't hit their straps yet in the URC, even though they're top of the lock, even though they're still winning. And how much influence Jacques Nienaber has been able to have since he's got there as well. It makes it a fascinating game to watch as well. And I mean, certainly when I still think though, if we're talking about full strength squads, I'd probably also say La Rochelle's very dangerous wherever they play at the moment. They've got such quality around the park there. Interesting.
I think for this one, and because it's still early days in the competition, for this one, you'd have to favor the home side, and maybe heavily so, because, if you're the traveling side, you can still, there's still some home games to make up lost ground.
And obviously, all that depends on squad selection. So, yeah, if it's a full strength squad, I'd probably go for La Rochelle. But if it's not, then it's a good bunch of points. The only other game I think is worth mentioning, there's a lot of other games going on there, and we don't have time to go over them. But the side I feel the most sorry for this weekend, and again, it depends on squad selection, is Cardiff going to Toulouse. I think it might be a very long afternoon for Cardiff. The Welsh side
are in for the moment. So they may be in for the blues there, I think. Toulouse are very difficult not to crack at home. Of course, they are European Champions Cup royalty. Long and distinguished trail of success in the top 14 and the Champions Cup. So, I think a tough day for Cardiff.
Yeah, that's all we have time for now. We'll be reviewing all that, and we've got a bumper program for next week, which we won't reveal just yet. But we had a very fun afternoon yesterday, and once we cut that and we sorted a bit out and edited a bit, we'll have a great.
There's a bit to cut.
There's a bit to cut. There's a lot. We had a very, very good afternoon yesterday at Pirates Rugby Club. So that'll be all next week in the pod. So have a look out for that. But thanks for joining us, and enjoy the sevens and enjoy the Champions Cup action.
Thanks for listening. And a reminder, you can find all the To The Last Drop podcasts on the Brendan Nell YouTube channel, iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.